Part 3 Chapter 82 Yasna, 18 Good sunrises were rare in the summer. Once, during Yasna's youth, a stormkeeper had explained the reason. In the summer, there weren't enough clouds to reflect the sunlight, and the most vivid colors required their distorting interference. Without clouds, the light simply escaped into the sky, bland and uniform. Yasna watched the sunrise anyway. She sat beside the open window flap of her tent, waiting as the horizon came alight, like a ribbon of fire. False dawn rose in the east, heralding the coming of morning, like messengers before an army. The sun itself was a majestic king, sending forth its spearmen and archers to brighten the land. There were no brilliant colors, true, but Yasna was not disappointed. This was not a time for subtle artistry. It was a day that needed power and strength, not reflections or distortions. This day, the sun rose not to provide beauty, but to fulfill its greater duty of illuminating the land. A hand fell lightly on her shoulder. Yasna turned, giving Meridas a flat glare. The man knelt in a lord's traditional evening clothes, loose sea-silk trousers, and a matching open-fronted shirt. Meridas bore her stare for a few moments, then obediently withdrew his hand. She had moved into his tent to keep up appearances, but there were two sleeping pallets. She intended to maintain this one last reservation as long as she could. Meridas smiled as he stood. He knew, as she did, that he would prove the eventual victor in this struggle. Her position of power as his wife was too vital to risk letting him continue long without an heir. He stretched, then pushed apart the dividing flap and left the sleeping chamber for another section of the pavilion. Yasna shivered as he left. Being vulnerable before him, wearing only a light sleeping robe, her left hand exposed, her hair loose, unnerved her more than she would admit. She sighed, then rose to go about her morning preparations. The army's brief stop in Kolinar had provided a host of comforts, not the least of which included two more awakeners to help provide food and fresh water for the army. Yasna now had a group of trained ladies' maids to attend her. No more masculine cut clothing and unprimped features would mar her image. Yet, as she submitted to their care this morning, she couldn't help longing for the days in Rimac when she had taken care of herself. There was a strength in seeing to one's own needs, an independence Yasna had never known before. When the maids finished, Yasna's face expertly painted, her hair combed and braided, her clothing immaculate and colorful, she was ready to be presented to the world. Not that it mattered anymore. The addition of reserve forces from Kolinar had swelled the army's numbers to nearly 8,000. But Yasna had very little to do with their management anymore. Her marriage to Meridas had elevated him in most people's eyes, signaling a unification of power in the camp. While the people still considered themselves the Herald's army, Meridas was universally accepted as the unnamed second in command. Her loss of control was not an enormous problem, however. Yasna had achieved her goals. Messengers had been sent to Dalinar, warning of the invasion, and the army itself was marching to him. As long as these things happened, Yasna didn't really care who directed the daily operations of the camp. By the time she was washed, clothed, and fed, the rest of the army was nearly ready to march. She'd forgotten how long things could take when one was attended by proper maids. During the previous part of their march, Yasna would have overseen the feeding of the men, the disassembling of sub-camps, and the organization of the marching columns. Now she barely had time to finish off her morning meal before the soldiers came to break down Meridas's pavilion and stow it in the supply carts. Her litter waited outside. Yasna shuffled over to it. Though a week had passed since her return to luxury, she had yet to reaccustom herself to the Tala's restrictive motion. She waited patiently while the soldiers worked on the pavilion. The same men would become her litter-bearers once they were finished. As the men worked, she turned toward the main body of the army, watching as its members moved about now familiar patterns of organization. She felt some measure of pride as she watched them. What had been refugees, wandering mercenaries, and isolated farmers had become an army beneath her tutelage. Though they had no formal uniforms, they marched with increasing cohesion. Kolinar and Aniezer had armed them, and each man carried a weapon of good worth. Most even had good armor, scavenged from the dead Vaden force at Kolinar. Taln's training had proven remarkably effective, considering its limited time. The man had an amazing ability to change peasants into soldiers. Somewhere in his past, he had done such before. Thoughts of the would-be herald prompted her to seek him out with her eyes. He was not difficult to spot. Taln always stood at the center of activity, though she wasn't certain whether that was because he sought it out or because he created motion and activity wherever he went. A gathering of soldiers and guards stood around him, giving advice and taking orders. The sight gave her a smile. No effort on Meridas's part, even marrying Yasna, had shaken free the people's reliance upon Taln. Rather the opposite, actually. Even Lord Aniezer's mercenaries were beginning to accept Taln's divine authority. He made a powerful symbol, standing broad-chested and self-assured, always calm and friendly, ever competent at his duties. Few sane men could claim such an impressive list of credentials. Yasna watched him with pride. Taln made a few more commands, then apparently excused himself from the group. As he began walking, Yasna realized with a start that he was moving toward her tent. She quickly composed herself, pretending that she hadn't been staring in his direction. He had spoken with her little during the past week, as was proper. She was now married. It would not do for the men to think her unfaithful to her union. Besides, she could see the hurt in his eyes. He had always been easy to read, considering his supposed age. She had rejected him. Perhaps he understood the necessity of her actions. The two of them were obviously incompatible. However, that knowledge obviously didn't lessen his hurt, nor did it hers. She adopted a look of passive curiosity as he approached. "Lord Talanel," she said respectfully, as he paused beside her litter.
"Lady Yasna," he replied, nodding slightly. "I thought you would wish to know that the scouts have located your brother's army. If the Aleth armies remain where they are, we should reach them by mid-afternoon."
"That close?" Yasna asked with surprise. Taln nodded.
"They're camped near the Rift of Northol, due east. The scouts mark their numbers at just over 20,000.
"So few," Yasna thought with concern. "The Vaden army?"
"Camped on the other side of the rift, obviously waiting to move until your brother does."
He paused.
"The invaders have a force about twice the size of your brother's army."
Yasna closed her eyes. "Strength. At least they still live." "Is Lord Dalinar with them?" she asked, opening her eyes, keeping her voice firm.
"Both flags fly," Taln said. "We can assume they're both there."
Yasna nodded. "Thank you, Lord Herald. I rarely get the scout reports in a timely manner these days."
"I know," Taln said.
He appeared to have nothing more to say, but he did not leave. The silence soon became awkward. Eventually he turned from her, moving to walk back toward his command group. "Tal," she said after him, making him pause. "I haven't been with him. Our arrangement is political, not physical."
Tal turned. He stepped closer.
"We made our decisions, Jasnah," he said softly. "Even though I didn't realize what I was agreeing to at the time, I hold to it. What you do is for the good of Alethkar, and what I do is for the good of all Roshar. I learned long ago that the love of one cannot be allowed to overrule the love of all. What good would my affection be if it came with the taint of an entire race abandoned?"
Jasnah nodded, keeping back tears. She wished that she could make it work, that she could have everything, the safety of Alethkar, the love of Taln, and the willingness to ignore his madness. Unfortunately, for the first time in her life, she had finally found something that she couldn't manipulate, contrive, or undo. Taln wouldn't be bent by her, and that made him all the more precious.
"You will always have my heart, Jasnah," he said softly. "However, Roshar must always have my sword."
He nodded to her with a slight half bow, then turned and walked back toward the front of the army. They found Dalinar's army just after midday. Jasnah watched through the side of her litter as they approached, expecting to see relieved enthusiasm from Elokar's men. Instead, the men gave only wan, half-hearted cheers. Many of them didn't even do that much. They simply stood and watching as her troop entered their midst. Their faces were marked with fatigue and depression. They looked as if they didn't have the will to celebrate, especially since her force was obviously too small to save them outright.
"What have these men been through?" Jasnah thought with horror, as her bearers carried her into the center of camp.
The men seemed half dead, their eyes empty and fatigued. She knocked for her bearers to put her down, then pushed her drapes open fully. "See if you can locate my brother or Lord Dalinar," she ordered one of the men. The lead bearer nodded, moving off. Jasnah sat patiently, waiting for a response. The 5 hours of marching had done her good, allowing her to reaffirm her internal logic. Everything had grown messy with Tal'n's arrival in Alethkar. She couldn't afford to let herself grow distracted. The kingdom would need her focused if they were to overcome current threats. Minutes passed before her bearer returned. His face was troubled.
"My lady," he said, "I believe you should come see this."
She found him at the edge of the camp, sitting apart from the tents and main body of troops. A crowd of noblemen and attendants waited a respectful distance away, and she ordered her litter-bearers to put her down near Lord Achathan. She probably shouldn't have been surprised to find the Cardin Lord in the camp. He had always been one of Dalinar's closest friends.
"How long?"
she asked Achathan as she disengaged herself from the litter.
"It happened at sunrise," the man replied. "None of us knew about the duel. They must have arranged it in secret. By the time any of us knew what had happened."
Jasnah nodded, then slowly walked across the cool stones. A figure sat quietly on a boulder, shard blade stuck into the ground before him. Beside the blade lay a corpse in golden shard plate, blood forming a small lake around it. Dalinar looked up at her with tired eyes.
"Jasnah,"
he said,
"I've killed your brother."
Jasnah steeled herself and looked into the face of the dead king. Dalinar hadn't closed her brother's eyes. They stared up, as if accusatory, from within a pain-frozen face. She found herself feeling an odd sense of closure, mixed with a surprising stab of grief.
Elokar had proven himself to be a horrible man, but he had been her brother. She couldn't completely divorce the man who had betrayed her from the young boy she had loved. A boy she had protected, it appeared, long after he deserved the attention.
"I trained him in the sword, you know,"
Dalinar said quietly, still looking down at Elokar.
"I knew his strengths, and I knew his weaknesses. He was good, as you know, but he was never a clever enough fighter. He insisted upon forms that didn't suit him. Passion will only get you so far."
Jasnah looked up at the grief in the aged Parshan's voice. Not Parshan any longer, Jasnah realized. King.
"I told myself I'd let him win for the good of Alethkar,"
Dalinar continued.
"No, not for Alethkar. For Nolunaren. I decided that I would die for the love I bore my brother. The army needed one leader. Better Elokar than me, I reasoned. He'd learned much during these last few weeks. I was certain he would be a better king in the future."
He turned to her, finally looking away from Elokar's dead face.
"But, you see, I couldn't do it. In the end, I remembered Arador. It turns out I loved my son more than my brother, Jasnah."
Jasnah reached out, laying a hand on his plated shoulder. "Dalinar," she said quietly, "there was no other way for this to end. Alethkar didn't need him. It never did. It does need you, however."
"You should hate me,"
Dalinar replied. It was almost a request. Jasnah shook her head. "He had me imprisoned, uncle. He killed my guard, Nelshenden, a man as good and honorable as any I have known. Elokar did it to keep his secret quiet, a secret my men and I discovered. Jezenrosh never tried to have my brother killed. Elokar orchestrated the assassination attempt himself. He hired a group of men and had some of them impersonate Jezenrosh's shard bearers, all so he would have an excuse to go to war. You are not to be blamed for ridding the kingdom of such a king." Dalinar nodded.
"I suspected he had done something like that," he said. "He had been planning the attack on Crossguard for some time. Apparently Jezenrosh was spreading rumors that the traitor didn't kill your father, and that the war in Prala was negotiated on a lie."
Jasnah frowned. "That's foolishness. Balinmar was there when father died. He witnessed the traitor's betrayal." Dalinar nodded.
"I don't think Elokar believed his cousin, but he did fear the rumors. Feared them deeply. Your brother was not a tolerant man."
"Come back to the camp, uncle," Jasnah said. "Alethkar still needs you. The army is a mess. The soldiers need to see you strong and confident. You'll need to formally assume the throne. We'll have Brother Lon give you the Vorin blessing, and the ladies prepare an appropriate glyph ward. Then we need to get moving. That Vaden army isn't going to sit and wait on the other side of that crack forever." Dalinar sighed, then nodded, rising. Had he looked so old before? His body still bore the firm physique of a warrior, but his face seemed far more aged than she remembered. He hadn't shaven this day, and his stubble was coming in gray. He straightened as he walked, however. Dalinar was a man who understood duty. Responsibility would not pull him down, no matter how heavily it weighed upon him. Jasnah paused as they walked back, turning to look one final time at her brother's corpse. It lay in the shadow of the boulder, and the gilding seemed wan without the light to sparkle it. The once golden metal was scarred and dried with blood. In her experience, summer sunsets were rarely as spectacular as one expected.